Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
A couple years ago, I was living in Virginia Beach, and two guys were in town for, I think, a conference. They called me and said, hey, can we go out to lunch while we're there? I said, sure. And so I picked them up where they were, and I said, hey, I want to take you guys to my favorite pizza restaurant. My family goes here all the time. They're like, great. So we're driving to my favorite pizza restaurant that my family goes to all the time. And on the way, I was like, wait one second. And I called my wife, and I'm like, how do I get there again? And so finally she gets me there, we arrive, we eat pizza, and then we leave, and I had to drop them off somewhere, and I'm like, no, that's totally cool. I've been there like three times. I know exactly where it is. On the drive, I am repeatedly calling my wife going, do I turn left or right on Princess Anne? What do I do now? Where am I? It was crazy. When we finally got there, this guy goes, Vince, have you ever heard of something called a GPS? And I was like, yes, I think I need one of those. So that Christmas, actually, my in-laws got one for me for Christmas. You guys, some of you said you had these things, and they're very helpful, and it's great because they tell you where to go, but they're also a little bit annoying, too. You know, one of the things that's cool about them is that you can choose the voice, right? You guys have that? And so if you have it on your phone, you don't, but like mine comes with the American voice or the exotic British woman's voice, and I chose the exotic British woman's voice. I have named her Amelia. This is the closest I've ever come to having an affair because we're driving all around together, you know, me and Amelia. But it can be very annoying because when you're going the right direction, it's all very helpful and the advice is very pleasant. But if you go the wrong way, your GPS will say, recalculating. And what recalculating really means is, you are such an idiot. You can't follow these simple directions. Recalculating, you fool, right? One time, this is a true story, unfortunately, I had to drive about an hour from where I lived in Virginia Beach to this church that I was going to speak at. I think they were having their 100th year anniversary dinner thingy. And so I'm driving, I got to the right road, and I'm driving along, and I can see, like, the little, you know, target where I'm supposed to go. And so I'm like, oh, it's coming up. And in fact, the GPS said, approaching destination. And I'm like, awesome. And I'm driving along, and all of a sudden it says, recalculating. Meaning I drove past it, and I'm like, how did I miss it? And so I drive up, and I do a U-turn, and while I'm doing my U-turn, it says, recalculating. And then I go back in the same direction, and it's like this little span, and it says, approaching destination. And I'm like, okay, and I'm looking for the church, and then it says, recalculating. And I'm like, seriously? So I turn back around, and I drive, and it says, recalculating. And then it says, approaching destination. And I'm like, where is it? Is it in the sky? And then it says, recalculating. And I'm like, oh my goodness. And so, like, I ended up going like 1 mile per hour down the road, and it's like, approaching destination, recalculating. I'm like, where is it? I wanted to kill Amelia that day. But you know, GPS are kind of cool because they tell you where to go and how to get to where you want to go. And in this series, what we're going to talk about is, as a Christian, and I realize some of you are not there yet. Some of you are investigating faith and figuring stuff out. But as a Christian, how do I know where I'm supposed to go? How do I know where I'm supposed to be? How do I know what I'm supposed to do? And especially, we're going to talk about, how do I know where I'm supposed to serve and make a difference with my life? Like, how do I discover the unique purpose of my life? How do I figure out where to make a difference and an impact with my life? And let me ask you, how do you determine that? Like, how do you make those kind of decisions? Maybe for you, if you thought about that and you thought about, you know, how do I pick my job? How do I pick where I live? How did I pick, you know, where I serve? Maybe for you it's money. Maybe that's like the big determining factor. Or maybe it's your family. Maybe it's convenience or safety or weather. I don't know. But if it's one of those factors, then if we're being totally honest, you would have to admit that means that's what you have oriented your life around, right? Whatever that factor is for you. And so maybe you've oriented your life around money, or you've oriented your life around convenience or safety or your family or your friends. And those are options. But in this series, I want to challenge you with this idea. What if you made that determining factor God? Like, what if you oriented your life around God? And so instead of doing what's best for you, and make you feel good, What if instead you tried to do what was best for God and what you thought was going to make him smile? What if your determining factor, the thing you oriented your life around, became God? Because, and you may not understand this yet, but what God's inviting you to is not just to believe in him. And not just to say, okay, you know, there's really a God and he's up there and I believe. No, what he's asking you to do is to follow Jesus and to make your life about what he's about. That you're going to try to become a part of what God's doing in this world. Let me show you just one example. Because what God's asking you is to make him like the most important thing in your life. The thing that your life revolves around. And I realize for some of you, you're like, dude, I'm here trying to even believe in God, and you're asking me to make him the most important thing. Well, maybe you're not quite ready yet, but today we're going to be in Romans chapter 12, and we'll sit there today. But in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, we're going to see this idea come out. And by the way, if you don't own an easy-to-read translation of the Bible, we give them out for free in the at the hub table in the lobby, and so you can get one there. So Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 1. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. So it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And so the idea here is, don't just believe in God, give your life to him. Like, you need to be willing to sacrifice your life for him and what he's doing in this world. And what if we actually did that? Like what if our lives started to look like that? Like, what if instead of, yeah, I'm moving to Orlando. How come? Well, I got this new, better job there. What if it was, I'm moving to Detroit? Because, I don't know, I just have been praying and I just really feel like God wants me there. And it's kind of weird, but he wants me. I don't have a job, but I have to assume there's a job in Detroit. And I don't know, but I'm just trusting God that he wants me there, so I'm moving to Detroit. Or what if instead of, yeah, I live here in Savannah, Georgia, because it's where my family is and I'm close to family and friends here. What if instead it was, I live in the French Quarter of New Orleans because there are so few Christians here, and I just really feel like somebody needs to be the presence of Jesus and serve people in Jesus' name in this area, and nobody is really here, and so I'm trying to do that for God. What if? And some of you may know, and most of you probably don't, that that's how this church actually started, with about 20 people moving from all over the country to Las Vegas without jobs, without anything, without homes, to move here to start a church here in the middle of Sin City. What if your life became like that? What if instead of, yeah, we live in this neighborhood because it's really nice and there's a real good school for our kids. What if instead it was, yeah, we chose to live in this neighborhood because it's not nice at all and the schools are horrible and we just want our kids to, I don't know, kind of be like missionaries to those schools because they need it. We actually had a family at our church in Virginia Beach who moved. They sold their house and their nice neighborhood, their nice house and their nice neighborhood, and moved into a really poor neighborhood and a little much worse house because they felt like God needed people there to love on those people and serve those people. And so that's why they moved. What if it was that? You know, what if you based your job decision on what you thought God wanted you to do rather than what made the most money? I don't know, but let me tell you this. Here's what I've experienced in my life, that when you start orienting your life around God, and it may be very awkward for you to even hear this, no less think about doing it, but when you start doing that, it is what makes life worth living. I mean, something changes, because when I'm living my life for me and it's all about me, that's just incredibly small. You know, the scope of my life is like right here, and I'm just not a big deal. And I'm going to be dead here in, I don't know, probably 2 or 3 years or something. But you know, it's just, my life is just very small. And so if I'm what I'm living for, my family's what I'm living for, it's just very small. But when I start living for God, and I switch, and I make that switch in my head, and I'm going to live for him now, my life becomes bigger than I could have ever imagined. It becomes better than I've ever dreamed. It becomes something more beautiful than I've ever experienced. Because I'm living for something big and important instead of something small and selfish. It's what makes life worth living. And so what if you started to orient your life, if your GPS system became the way I'm going to know where to go and how I'm going to get there is based on what God, who God is and what God is doing in this world rather than who I am and what I want to do in this world. What if? Now, here's the deal. Some of you might say, I want that. Like, I really want that. That's why I'm here, because I want that. But sometimes it's not that simple, right? Like, sometimes it's like, I would love to know what God wants me to do with my life. I would love to know what, you know, whether it's a career, or we're going to talk a lot about serving in the community and serving here in the church, but I just don't know how. And there are times in life where God just seems to speak to you, you know, and I'm not talking about out loud, weird stuff, but like you just know, like inside there you have this leading, this sense, this push that I'm supposed to do this. I don't know why. I know it. And that makes it very simple. You know, I'm supposed to move to Las Vegas. I'm supposed to serve in this ministry. That's great. But a lot of the time, probably most of the time, it's not that simple. It's not that obvious. And you're like, I don't know. Like I've prayed and I've asked God to tell me, but he doesn't seem to be saying anything. So what do I do? When God's not saying anything, what you do is you look at what he's already said. Because in the Bible, God tells us a lot about this. And God gives us some guiding factors that we can use to help us figure out, where am I supposed to go? What am I supposed to do? And especially, how has God designed me to serve and make a difference with my life? You know, what unique thing can I do to make an impact in this community and in this church for him? And so in this series, we're going to explore three of those guiding factors, kind of God's GPS system. We're going to look at your G, your P, and your S. And today we're going to start with your G, which are your gifts, your gifts. And so here's the idea with this. What the Bible teaches and what we really adhere to, and it's a big deal here at Verve, is that God has uniquely designed you. That God is not a haphazard God, that God is not a one-size-fits-all God, but that instead God has uniquely designed you, and he designed you to serve. God made you to make a difference in the lives of others. God created you to make an impact with this world. And so he designed you to serve, and he designed you very uniquely and specifically to serve. And so I want to show you one of the many passages that teach us that. So in Romans, we're going to jump down to verse 3. But Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8 say this. It says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying," which we have weird ideas about that just means to speak for God, so it's like what I'm doing now. It's just teaching others about God, preaching about God. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. All right, so let's talk about this passage. It talks about us as a human body, right? There's this kind of metaphor in this passage that we are like a human body as the church. And the Bible talks about this several times. This idea that the church is kind of like a body. We're called the body of Christ. And so this is Verve's version of the body of Christ. And just like with a body, you know, you have a bunch of body parts, or it says members, right? You have a bunch of body parts, and each part has its own function, right? Your parts are not interchangeable. Your parts are not, you know, they can all do whatever they... No, your fingers do one thing. Your fingers grab things, and they write, right? And your feet do something else. Like your feet run, and your nose smells. Sometimes your nose runs and your feet smells, but that totally defeats my purpose, so let's ignore that for now, right? But your eyes see, and everything in your body, there's all kinds of things you can't see that are all doing things right now so that you are a healthy person. And in the same way, what the Bible is saying is that in the church, we are each parts, we're each members of this body. And so some of you are like the fingers of Christ here at Verve. And that's important. It's necessary. Every part has a function to play, right? And some of you are the knees of Verve, and that's important, and you have a function to play. And one of you is the appendix of Verve, and Actually, there's no function, and you're not important at all. But again, we'll skip that. All right, and one of you is like the sphincter of verb. I'll take that. It's actually on my business card. It says sphincter of verb, which is really where I need to change that. But the point is, sorry, it's really sphincter humor, really. So the point is that we each have a part to play. You have a part to play in the body of verve. And so, and then it says, hey, consider yourselves with sober judgment. Do you notice that? And the idea is you need to really examine yourself so you understand, what am I in the body? Instead of just kind of going, singing might be cool, I think I'll sing. Or, man, it might be fun to hang out with a teenager, I guess I'll hang out with... No, it's saying really examine yourself to understand, what am I in the body of Christ at Verve? Like, what part has God given me to play here? Consider yourselves with sober judgment. Really understand, who has God made me to be? Who has God made me to be? And what function do I play in his body here at Verve? And so then I start talking about gifts. And the idea here is that you have certain abilities. And when you look at the list here, and there's other lists in the Bible of the different gifts that God gives people, they're very ordinary things, right? You're like, oh, I know lots of people who have that. They're ordinary abilities. But what makes them kind of beyond ordinary is when you start giving them to God. And when God starts infusing them and empowering them, and you start deciding to use your abilities for God, then they become special gifts. They become spiritual gifts, right? There's something different that's happening now because I'm using my gifts for God, and he's empowering them, and his purposes are what they're for, and it's incredible. And the reason they're called gifts, I think, partly is because God gave those to you. You might think, oh, that's kind of who I am. It's what I got, or that's what I've developed over the years. No, God gave you those. Those are gifts that he enabled you to have or enabled you to develop in your life. They're gifts from him. And they're also called gifts because it's something that you're supposed to give away to others. They become gifts when you give them away. See, God did not create you to be selfish. God didn't give you this amazing, unique design so that you could serve yourself. He gave you those gifts so you could give them away and serve others. And so the Bible mentions a bunch of them. I'll mention a few of the gifts just so you kind of get this idea. So for instance, here we read about the gift of encouragement. And so there are certain people, and you probably know these people, and maybe you are this person, who, man, they just know the right thing to say at the right time. I am not this person, by the way. People are like, oh, this just happened to me. I'm like, crap. like that's not what you say in that moment. But there are people who are like, oh, you know what? It's going to be okay. Because and it's like, wow, how did you know? That's the perfect thing to say, right? And they just have this gift. And writing notes comes very naturally to them. You know, putting an arm around a hurting person and just making them feel loved, right? And so what this passage says is if you have that gift, and some of you do, you have the gift of encouragement, encourage. Use it. God gave you that gift so that you could make a difference with your one and only life, right? And so encourage. There are so many hurting people who walk through the doors of this place every week. There's so many hurting people in Las Vegas who need encouragement. And so don't be selfish and hoard that. Use it to encourage others. In this passage, it also mentioned the gift of teaching. You know, there are some people that when they read the Bible, it's not just that they get something out of it. It's like it comes alive and they're like, oh, I know the perfect way to explain this to somebody. I could teach this. And they just can't wait to share what they're learning with somebody else. And that's the gift of teaching. And this says, hey, if you have the gift of teaching, teach. Don't have God give you that gift and you say, I'm just going to kind of put... No, you use it. And we have opportunities for you to teach in the children's ministry with teenagers and at Verve University. And so use that gift. In other parts of the Bible talks about the gift of administration, right? Again, ordinary things you might think, oh, I kind of have that. But it's when you start using it for God and asking him to kind of bless it so you can serve others that it becomes a spiritual kind of gift. And this is the person who just pays great attention to details and they can create systems. They can kind of break something apart and put it back together and create an event or a system. And God says, listen, if you have the gift of administration, administrate. Use that gift. Use it to make a difference. It also mentions in the Bible the gift that God gives some people of helps. Helps. And so the idea is it's a person who loves to help. A person who's like, you know what? I don't need to be on stage. I don't even need to get noticed. Like, I would like to be behind stage helping with whatever it is just to make it happen. Like what can I do? And I don't want to get applause. I just want to help. And people with those kind of gifts are often kind of feeling like, you know, my gift's not special because I see these people and everyone's like, oh, look what they can do. No, your gift is probably more important, right? Like when you think of it in the context of the human body, what's more important, the stuff you can't see or the stuff you can? The stuff you can't see, right? Like if today you were going to be stricken with a disease of your liver or a disease of your eyebrows, which would you choose, right? You say, oh, I like my eyebrows, but I'd rather lose my eyebrows than my liver. Okay, I could probably get some fake eyebrows or something. Or there's that guy on the wall who shaved off his eyebrows. It's kind of a cool look, right? And so, you know, you say, I guess, you know, I look at my eyebrows a lot more, but my liver's more important. And there's people who get to be on stage or get to be in positions. You're like, ooh, look at their gift. But people who have the gift of helps and who just love to serve and make it, man, those people are so critical for a church and in a community. And so if you have that gift, help. Help. There's also, the Bible talks about the gift of hospitality, the kind of person who loves to make food for people or figure out, you know, what do you need? How can I help your life be a little easier, make you feel more comfortable? And if you have the gift of hospitality, man, we could totally use your gift. You know, like when we talk about having this Verbalicious event, there are people who make food for it and make it look nice in here and stuff like that. And man, we could use your gift all over. There's the gift of shepherding, the kind of person who just loves to care for others. And maybe they've grown a little bit spiritually and so they're able to answer questions that other people have about spiritual things and give them some wisdom. And if you have the gift of shepherding, we could use you in this church in so many ways. I think it would be fair also to add to the list of gifts the Bible gives us in that we're given in the Bible, just skills maybe that you've developed over the years through your job or a hobby or in life, like maybe photography or playing guitar or designing websites or fixing cars. And you look at your life and you go, I got some skills. Right? I've learned a few things. Well, you can use those skills for yourself and make money off of them and whatever, or you can give them to God and say, man, you gave me the ability to develop this skill. Is there a way that I could make a difference in the community? Is there a way that I can serve here at Verve through this skill I have? And the answer almost assuredly is yes. Yes, there is. And so the deal is that God made you to serve. God designed you, uniquely designed you to play a unique function in this body that makes up Verve. And he's asking you not to be selfish with the gifts he's given you, but instead to give those gifts back to him. He's asking you to serve in every area of your life, you know, serve in your home and serve people at work and serve in your community. But he definitely says you need to serve in your church. All through the Bible, he says, hey, you need to be someone who's active and using your gifts to serve and volunteer in your church. And you should serve according to your giftedness. Right? See, what we could do as a church is we could say, you know, we got a bunch of needs, we got a bunch of people now, and so let's just start taking people and shoving them into needs. You know, you're gonna work in the nursery, but I hate kids. We don't care. You're gonna make desserts for Verbalicious. I've never baked in my life. We don't care. You know, just kind of take people, shove them into holes, right? But that's not God's idea, and that's not our idea. What God says is you need to serve, but serve according to the unique design I gave you, right? And so what you need to do is you need to figure out, what do I understand about who God has made me to be? What do I understand about who God has made me to be? What are my gifts? And right now you might be going, that's a good question because I don't know. What are my gifts? Well, let me tell you the two ways that you discover your gifts. One is by examining. You can discover your gifts by examining. And so what you do is you look at your life. You look at your past and you start asking questions. In the different ways I've served God so far in my life, what ones seem to have produced some results? Like in what ways have I served God that it really seemed to make a difference and touch people's lives? What am I passionate about? Like, what are the things that really get me excited? What do I get complimented on? Like, what do people say, you know, you're really good at that? Like, what are some of those things? What skills have I developed in life? Is there some way that what I do for my job might be able to help people? Like maybe you're a gearhead and your whole life you've been good at fixing cars. Is there a way I could use that for God? Maybe you're an entrepreneur and you know how to start something. Like that's easy for you. Is there a way you could use that for God? And so what you do is you examine yourself. Now, probably for some of us, you're like, man, I am so new to this God thing and this church thing. I don't have that much to look, at least the God, the spiritual part. Like, I've never served God, so I can't ask, how have I served God in the past? Oh, yeah, I haven't yet, you know? And so maybe you're like, this is way too new for me. Well, that's why we're doing this class called Verb. Starting on July 18th, we're offering two Verb University classes. One is called Verge, which is for kind of people on the verge, people who are thinking about investigating Jesus, people who are thinking about becoming a Christian, people who are thinking about taking a next step spiritually. And so you could take that class. But the other one, and this is the first time we're going to offer this, is called Verb. And so the idea is, how do I put my faith into action? Right? You have a sentence without a verb, nothing is happening in that sentence. You add a verb, something's happening now. And in our lives, in our spiritual, our Christian lives, something should be happening. You know, it's not just, yeah, I'm learning and I'm growing. No, you should be doing something. And so what we're going to do in Verb, like in Verge, we really examine God. Who is God? Why should we believe in God? What has God done for us? In Verb, we really examine you. And so we're going to do all kinds of exercises and kind of tests and learn what is my personality and what are my gifts and what are my passions and what are my strengths. And it is going to be a fascinating 5 weeks where you learn all about you. And I think you'll understand you a lot better than you've ever understood you. And it's starting to sound like Dr. Seuss, so I'm going to stop with that. But man, you can sign up today for Verb, and I would totally encourage you to do that. And at the end of that class, I think you'll say, I think I have a good idea of what my gifts are and where I could serve and at Verb and in the community make a difference. And so the first way you understand your gifts is through examining. The second is through experimenting, What you do is you try something. And when you try it, you'll probably figure out pretty quick, I'm not good at this. Like, this is not my gift. Or you'll say, oh, this might be it. And to help you with that, we do something here at Verve called First Serves. Here's the idea. At a lot of churches, and if you grew up in church, you might start nodding your head and going, yep, I've seen that. The deal is, like, you'll be asked, hey, would you serve in the nursery? And you go, all right, I'll serve in the nursery. And what you don't realize is you are there right then. You are volunteering to serve for life. Like, you are never getting out of the nursery, right? And, like, you'll be this 72-year-old lady, and you're like, when did you start serving here? 51 years ago. Do you enjoy it? I've hated every minute of it, but they won't let me out, right? And you're stuck. And that's, again, that's not God's way. God wants you to serve according to your giftedness. And so what we do is we do something we call a first serve. And the idea is you're going to serve one time, once, as sort of a test drive. And so you're going to kind of take that ministry position, that volunteer spot around the block a time or two and just go, okay. And you're going to try it. And when you're done trying it, so you serve once in the nursery. You serve once doing something else. And when you're done, we're going to ask you some questions. And you should ask yourself some questions like, do I get the feeling that this kind of jives with how God created me and designed me? Did it give me energy to do this, or was it just totally draining? Do I feel like I can make an impact doing this? Do I feel like I could grow and become better at this over time? And so we're going to ask you some questions. And what might happen is you might realize, I guessed wrong. I thought nursery, or I thought whatever. I thought, you know, helping to run the soundboard. I thought, this is not me. And you're like, oh, I made a mistake. That's fine. That's the point of it. We're experimenting, right? You know what you say then? Recalculating. Right? And you go, okay, I got to try something else. And that's why it's called a first serve. Then you do a different first serve. And if it's the wrong spot for you, that's awesome, because you learned something really important about yourself. Right? You learned something you're not. You learned, I am not the left elbow of Christ. Okay? What am I? Right? And then you try something else. And that one might be wrong too. And you're like, okay, I eliminated something else. Awesome. I'm on my way. Or there might be a point where you go, this is it, I think. Like, I liked it. It was fun. Like, I would think I would, like, show up, like, excited to do this every week. And we'll give you breaks and stuff. But I want, can I do one more first serve in this and try it one more? Yeah, you can do one more. And then at some point we would say, hey, if this is your thing, let's get you in a regular rotation and help you to grow in this and develop that gift. Just because you have a gift doesn't mean it's fully developed. And let's get you to a place where you can really make an impact with that gift. And so you get started, because you might have gifts you have no idea, right? like my story, I became a Christian in college, completely no Christian background, and right away I started serving in a couple ways, but just like what I saw. Like I would go to church and they'd say, we feed homeless people on Tuesday nights, and I'd be like, yeah, I'll go. And so every Tuesday night I went and fed homeless people. And they said, we could do some help with the kids and with the teenagers. I'm like, I could probably do that. And so I started doing that, not because I thought it was my Gary Gitchiness, I just heard about it. So then I went to law school. In the middle of law school, I decided, man, this is all, I want to orient my life around God in a big way. I want to spend the rest of my life sharing this with people. And so I want to become a pastor. The one thing I was positive of is that I did not want to be someone who preaches. And the reason was I had seen two preachers and I knew I was not them. And so I actually met with somebody and said, hey, what kind of pastors are there? Like the two churches I've been a part of, it was the pastor and the youth pastor. I'm not either of that. Like, is there anything else? And they're like, oh, yeah, at a big church, they'll have, like, missions pastors and education pastors, all kind. And I'm like, okay, so I can find something. And so I go to seminary, and the one thing I know is I don't know what I'm going to do in my life, but I know I am never going to get up on stage and preach to people because I'm not that. And I've never I did moot court in law school. That was my only experience speaking in front of people. So at seminary, you have to take a preaching class. It's required. And so I take this preaching class. It's a bunch of guys who want to be preachers and me, and all the guys are I was getting a master's degree, so they're like 24, 25, except for there were two older guys. One was this really old, weird guy, and one was this guy who actually had a church in town. He wasn't like on his way to becoming a pastor. He was getting his master's degree, and he was a black guy, had this really cool church in town. And so every week, somebody had to preach. Like, you'd go up there, and it was your turn, and you'd give a sermon for the class, and then you'd get critiqued for it. And every week, it was the same thing. People would be like, well, you know, I would have cut your conclusion down a little bit and started to drag there. Or, you know, your introduction didn't really grab me. Like, it just didn't engage me at all. And I would have tried to do a story. Or, you know, I don't think you had enough Bible in there because it just seemed like you were just grabbing a verse. And so finally my day came to preach right at the end of the semester. And it just turned out, we might have been engaged at the time. My fiance, who I'm now married to, Jen, came down to visit me. She was staying at a friend's down the hall. And so she came to my preaching class, and I'm like, sorry, this is going to be lame. So I went up, and I preached before my class. And at the end, the professor says, all right, criticisms, critiques, what do you guys think? And the one dude who was the black preacher at the church raises his hand. He goes, boys, that's what I'm talking about. Finally, we got some black preaching in here. And I was like, and then that old weird guy said, keep the devil off your back, man. When you start preaching every week, you just keep the devil off your back. I was like, all right. And the professor said, anybody else? And no one else spoke. Like, everybody always ripped the sermons apart. And I went back and I sat down next to Jen, and Jen went, is that normal? And I said, no, I don't know what just happened. But it started to make me go, is this something I could do? Like, I don't know what either of those guys exactly meant. I'm not sure why they said that. But is this something I could be good at? Maybe it is. And I just kind of, and the reason was I was forced to take the class. Like, you had to take the class. And so there might be something you might have no idea. Maybe you're incredible with grammar school kids. Or maybe your gift is filming and editing videos, like the one we showed earlier. And you have no idea. And so the first serve idea is try something. Try a couple things. And we'll help you figure out what you're good at. Let's look back at this passage. There's something fascinating I want you to notice. So we're going to go back to verse 1 that we looked at way earlier in the message, where it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. So the idea there is, come on, go for it. Orient your life around God, right? Like, sacrifice your whole life to God. And then look what it says at the end of verse 2. It says, holy and pleasing God, this is your spiritual act of worship. Then if you jump down to the end of verse 2, which we did not look at earlier, it says this, then. And I want you to notice that word, okay? So I'm going to stop right here and go, beep, 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 then. Circle then in your mind. Look at the screen and circle then, okay? Got it? Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Did you notice the word then? Did you hear the beep, beep? Did you hear that? That word then is really interesting because it means only after the first you'll be able to do the second, right? And so the idea here is, listen, go for it. Offer your body to Christ. Make your life a living sacrifice to God. Live for God. Then you'll be able to figure out what it is that God wants you to do, what his will is for your life, right? And remember, what's the context of this passage? Well, we looked at the rest of it. It's about serving in the church, right? The next thing he's going to say is, hey, consider yourself a sober journey. You're part of the body of Christ. God's given you some gifts. Maybe you have the gifts of encouragement or mercy or leadership and whatever it is. Use that gift, right? That's the context of this passage. And so he says, go for it. Then you'll figure out what it is you're supposed to do. Isn't that interesting? Right? It says you probably aren't going to know what it is God wants you to do until you get going. So do something, then you'll figure it out. Because what happens with so many people is we kind of get into this analysis paralysis kind of thing, where it's like, I'm not really sure where to serve, and I don't want to choose the wrong place. And well, this one, I'm kind of concerned because I don't know if I've been a Christian long enough. And this one, it might take too much of my time. And well, I'm not so sure I'd be good with the kids. I've never really dealt with kids. And you just spend your whole life going, I'm not really sure. And God's saying, no, you don't know. Go for it. Try something. Do some first serves. And then, and only then, probably, will you be able to figure it out. You're never going to say, that's it. You're probably going to have to try something because you're steering to your destiny, right? And you can only steer something, think about this, that's in motion, right? Like if I sat on a motorcycle in my driveway and I'm like, I'm steering, man. I'm steering this thing. You'd be like, you're not moving. Oh, yeah, but I'm steering. You're like, you can move the handles around, but you're not steering. You're not moving. You have to move to steer, right? And so if you're going to say in your life, man, I'm going to figure out what God wants me to do in my life, no, you probably won't. Not if you're just standing there. But you get into motion, you probably will, because you steer something in motion. God wants to steer you to your destiny. He wants to steer you to destiny. But he can't steer you if you're not moving. So try something. Try something. And here's the deal. If you don't get this right, if you just stay where you are and you never get it right, you never figure out what my gifts are and you never start serving, there are two seriously negative consequences for that. One is for our church. Because God brought you here. Part of the reason God brought you here was not just to start a relationship with him, certainly that. But also, God brought you here to be a part of this body. And there's a unique function that you have to play here. And if you don't do that, we're missing out. We are missing out on what God brought you here to bring to us, to help us make an impact on Las Vegas, to help us serve the people who come here. Right? And so we are negatively impacted by your not willing to serve and figure out what your gifts are. But the bigger negative consequence is for you. For you. You know, there are so many people, almost everybody, who walk through life, and a lot of these people, honestly, are Christians, if we're going to be totally honest, who just walk through life without a cause, and they say things like, I just wish I knew what my purpose in life was. I just wish I understood what God wanted me to do. I just feel like, actually, I was just driving the other day with my brother-in-law, and I said, man, how's your job going? He goes, yeah, it's good, but I wouldn't suggest it to anybody. And I said, really, why not? And he said, you don't make a difference with your life. Like, I make a lot of money, but I'm not making an impact on anybody. Right? That's what people are like today. And the reason is they don't have the thrill of being used by God. That's how you are made. You were designed to serve. You were uniquely designed to make a unique contribution to what God is doing in this world. God put you here to be a body part in this body and to make a difference in Las Vegas. And if you don't get this right, if you don't start experimenting and examining and figuring out what your gifts are and serving according to them, man, you're going to miss out. And I don't want you to miss out. You don't want you to miss out. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to ask you today, and I want to be real clear, I'm asking everybody who is not currently serving in a ministry to sign up to do one or two or three first serves. To take a guess, and if you're wrong, it's okay, recalculating. And if you're right, continue ahead, right? You're doing good. And so what we did is on your way in, you got a card. Hopefully everybody got one. If not, if you raise your hand, I bet we can get one to you. But you got a card. And so I'm going to pray. And then after I pray, I want you to prayerfully fill out this card. Like, I want you, we're going to give you a minute or two. We'll have some music playing. And I want you to feel like this is my moment, right? Like this is the scene in the movie where the coach says, come on, you can do it. We're going to win this game, right? Because God has big plans for us. He does. God has big plans for what he's going to do in Las Vegas and in the world through Verve. And what I don't want, what God does not want, is for you to be a spectator. For you to go, man, our church is doing cool stuff. I hear about it all the time. I see stories and videos about what God's doing. No, God wants you on the field making a difference. And so this is your chance. This is like locker room stuff, right? And so I want you to prayerfully say, God, what do you want me to try? And there's like 10 choices there, and you can pick one or two, and we'll call you and contact you about doing a first serve, and then we'll ask you some questions about, was that right? And you might go, nope. And we'll go, okay, let's try something else. Or you might say yes, and we'll say, cool, let's help you to follow that path. So let me pray. Then you get out your cards. If you don't have a pen, if you raise your hand, you have a pen. They were on your chair when you came in. And then after this minute and a half of you figuring this out, we will finish the service. So let's pray. God, thanks for being a God who is alive and well and here and interactive and who is willing to use us to make a difference in the world. Thank you that not only do we get a relationship with you, which is everything, but you also value us so highly that you want to use us to make a difference in Las Vegas and across the globe and right here in this church. And God, my prayer is that every person who ends up making Verve their home would find the place where they can serve and make an impact and be Jesus to people and to this community. And so I pray that this next minute or two is really a serious and important time where we just ask you, God, would you help me to figure out where should I try? And if we're wrong, that's totally fine. That's the whole purpose of experimenting. But God, would you do that in our lives in this next minute or two? Make it kind of like this holy locker room feeling in our hearts. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.